Morning, Christ Church. Go ahead and take a seat. And would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for just your presence being with us today. We thank you for this time, Lord, where we can just lay our burdens and our struggles before you. Father, I know these are heavy times. These are hard times. Many of us are in seasons of loss and grief and struggle. But God, we know that you're with us here. Father, we know you have not abandoned us. We know that there is strength from you. And so, Lord, we just acknowledge that we depend on you. Lord, that we need you, that we long for you. And Father, we just pray that your grace could be mediated to us this morning in a fresh way. Bless these good people. Bless us with a sense of your presence. We ask this in Jesus' great name. Amen. Well, church, it's so good to be with you this morning. And can we just take a second and welcome all those who are tuning in online? We show them some love. We see you guys. We're so glad that you're with us. And hey, for those online and those in the room, if you want to take out your phone real quick and just share this experience, Facebook, YouTube, MySpace, TikTok, whatever. Man, we would appreciate it. It's a great way to help us to get the word out and to reach people. But it is great to see you. And today we are going to finish our sermon series that we started several weeks back called Choose Life. So the premise of the series is in a time where life is being drained out of us and things are heavy and things are hard and things are challenging, how can we still make life-giving choices in the midst of it? How can we still choose to go and move towards God and not allow the struggles to move us away from him? And so through this series, we've been looking at different ways to do it. And today we're going to conclude that message. And I want to just talk real plainly about making a new commitment to Jesus Christ today. Maybe for some of us, it will be the first commitment, be the first time we've ever really made a commitment to Christ. And man, nothing would make me happier than for you to make that commitment. Maybe for some of us, it's going to be a recommitment. It's going to be a refocusing, recommitting. Kind of maybe we've fallen off the horse a little bit, and it's time to come back home to the Lord. But no matter what, I just want all of us to search our hearts today and to discern what Christ means to us. And to get us started thinking about this, I want you to think about some of your most prized possessions in life. Some of the things that are really valuable to you. You know, maybe it's like a nice car that you've totally redone. My dad, he's owned a body shop his whole life. So growing up, you know, he would always have some great car he was restoring and making look beautiful. And then, man, you better not touch it or be around it and mess up all that hard work. Maybe you have like some sacred piece of technology. You got the iPhone 12. I'm still rocking the iPhone 6, church. Yeah. And rocking it with pride. I got the headphone jack. What's up? Anyway, but I want, and I want you to think, who will you trust with those prized possessions? Who will you allow to drive it or to borrow it or to use it? And the list might be short because there's some people that we would gladly trust our stuff to, and then there's some people not so much. Or there's some people that they come and they're like, can I borrow this tool? And you're like, I'd rather not. Because you know that's the last time you're going to see it. Or if you see it, you're going to find it on the ditch on the side of the road, all mangled. And I want you then to ask yourself this question: which person are you? Are you the person when you ask to borrow something, everyone's like, how do I get out of this without making this awkward? Or are you a person that they would gladly trust it to? I'm going to just be honest with you this morning. Don't lend me anything. Just don't do it. I wish I want to lie to you today, but don't do it. Here's what, well, if you lend it to me, just buy yourself a new one of whatever it is, because it's not coming back. It's not coming back. It is mine. And listen, I'm trying, you know, to be better about this kind of thing, but it's a work in progress. Because there are some people that we trust with the things most important to us, or even moderately important to us, and then there's some people not so much. And you know, when we think about the things that really matter, the direction of our life, the history of our past, the struggles of our present, the hopes of our future, I think we need to be even more discerning about whose hands we put those things in. And what I want to share with you today is that I believe there is no one who is more capable than handling the full story of your life and my life than Jesus Christ. That there's no one that I would encourage you more to put all of your life into his hands. The good, the bad, the ugly, the highs and lows, the times of celebration, and the times of deep pain. He can handle all of it. And he is trustworthy with all of it. And so as we end our series today, I just want to call you to choose life by choosing Jesus Christ. He is life in himself. In whatever season of life that we find ourselves in, he is more than capable to be the one that can guide us and help us and meet our need in this time. And I want to show you this powerful story from Luke chapter 7 of this woman that we're going to see who has given Christ everything. And I want to learn from it this morning. So we're going to start at Luke chapter 7, verse 36. And I'm going to read this story to you. Let me just find it. My bookmarker fell out. Here it is. Luke 7, verse 36. Here's how it goes. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at his table. Now, if I could give you a little context here, a Pharisee was a very, very religious person. So they were very morally observant. You know, they were the people that morning, noon, and night, they were at church, they were doing some religious activity. They had a reputation as just being incredibly religiously conservative and also a little bit exclusive for that reason. So if you didn't adhere to their high standard of morality or religious conviction, then they would tend to really see you as an outsider. So that's kind of who they are. And so Jesus is invited to one of these guys' house who is one of these. His name's Simon, and he's a Pharisee. And the story goes on, and behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. So now there's this other woman who enters the story. But she's not a Pharisee, is she? She's a woman of the city, and she is a sinner. So her reputation is the exact opposite. Whatever her past is, we don't know all the details of it, but we just know that it has created this reputation that goes before her. And all of a sudden, she decides that she's going to show up into this home of this Pharisee. And do you see already how this is going to create some tension? That here we have these high moral, religiously obeying people, and then we have this woman with a checkered past. And she's not invited, but she invites herself. And she comes with this jar of perfume, this flask of ointment. And standing behind Jesus at his feet, weeping, she begins to wet his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. And so just imagine this. So dinner's just kind of happening. This woman bursts through the front doors. She falls before Jesus' feet, weeping, broken, and just totally exposed. Right? Her tears are just falling on his feet. She breaks open the perfume and she pours it on his feet as kind of this act of love, this act of affection. And this is kind of just happening, and then everybody else is eating their chicken wings. They're like, what's going on here? You didn't know that, but that was a very popular dish in ancient Palestine. Everybody's got their KFC and they're... And then The Pharisee who invited him, he saw this, and he said to himself, so he's having this inner dialogue, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. Isn't that an ugly thought? What is she doing here? And what is Jesus allowing this charade to go on? If Jesus were really connected to God, surely God isn't dealing with a person like this. God would not be okay with this. That's what's going on in his heart. Now, here's the hard thing. When you're having an inner dialogue and Jesus is around, he's going to be able to pick up on it. And Simon is going to find that out. And so he says to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he said, say it, teacher. He said, a certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? If you forgive me, $500 or $50? What am I going to be more grateful for? 500, right? The one who owed more. And guess what? Simon got it right. The one I suppose for whom he canceled the larger debt. He said, you've judged rightly. Then turning to the woman, he said, do you see this woman? I've entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears, wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. I love this story. I think it is so beautiful, and it captures something so incredibly important about Jesus Christ and our relationship with him. And what I want you to see today is that this woman, I'm going to argue, she gave Christ everything. Everything. And what I want you to see is that when she gave Christ everything, then everything she gave Christ became a life-giving reality in her. Because at the end of the day, everything that you and I give Christ becomes life-giving. When we give him the pain of our past, our pain gets transformed into something different. When we give him our failures and the ugliness that sometimes arises in our life, all of that takes on a different shape. When we give him the hopes of our future and we give him the best that we have to offer, it becomes something of eternal significance. Everything that you and I give to Christ becomes life-giving to us and to other people. So I want to talk today about giving Christ four things. Four things. I want to challenge you to do it, and we're going to see it play out in this story. And here's the first one. Give Christ your worst. Give him your worst. So here this woman enters this story, and Luke, the author, he tells us that she is a woman of the city and a sinner. Now, what we know is both of those are bad things. And that's her past. That's what she's known for. That's how people see her. But yet, when she comes to Christ, in this moment, what happens is that her past no longer becomes what she's known for, but what she becomes known for is this act of love that she gave to Christ and the love that she received from him. 2,000 years later, we don't really know anything about her past, but what she's defined by is this interaction with Christ. Because what's amazing about Christ is that he does not define us by our worst day. He doesn't define us by our biggest mistakes. He doesn't define us by the most shameful moments of our lives. Now, everyone else defined this woman that way, right? That's how we know of her reputation. But Christ refused to define her that way. And I wonder maybe how many of us have struggled in life because we've been defined in hurtful or degrading ways by people throughout our lifetime. Maybe they've connected us to the mistakes of our past. They've defined us by them. Maybe they, when we relate to them, they only relate to us out of where we've messed up and not out of anything else. And for some of us, it's always been a struggle to see ourselves as anything of value because the voices around us have only defined us by our worst moments. And I want you to know today, if you give Christ your worst, he will redefine you. If we give Christ our greatest moments of shame, he can take them and forgive them. And he can make them not just moments of shame in our life, but moments that become a new heart of love towards God. Christ says, Simon, I want you to understand something. The reason this woman is doing that is because of her overwhelming gratitude towards me. And her heart of love is directly connected to her experience of forgiveness. And Simon, the problem with you is you just think you're too good. The problem is you is you just think you got it all together. You think God should be grateful for you. But guess what, Simon? You're messed up too. Just in a different way. And you need forgiveness just as much as she does. And Christ redefines how we understand each other and how we understand ourselves. Now, maybe the struggle for us is not the other people that have defined us. Maybe our struggle is how we define ourselves. I know this church, and I know that most of us in this church are not people that are really, really arrogant, and we need to like kind of be less like Simon. I think most of us in this church struggle with the voices of shame. And most of us are more like this woman. That we so closely identify ourselves with who we're not and what we didn't do and how we failed and messed up, that our real baggage is our failures and struggles and not so much our arrogance. And I want you to know today that even if you have defined yourself by the failures, by what you didn't do, by how you fell short, by the mistakes that you've made, by your regrets, then I want you to know if you bring that to Christ, he will redefine that too. Because at the end of the day, his voice is even greater than our own voice of self-condemnation. And I think this is one of the great struggles as a human. How do we deal with the shame that we feel? And it's all different for each of us. Our story is different. Our struggle is different. But every honest human being has this thing of shame. How do we deal with it? How do we get rid of it? Do we just give vent to it and then it becomes our identity in an unhealthy way? Do we act like it isn't there and we try to cover it up, but then it just comes out and it lurks under the surface? But here's the answer. We bring it to Christ where it can be properly dealt with. Where Christ says, yes, there is some brokenness in your past, but I've forgiven it all. See, when you have a sense that the Creator of all forgives you, you can forgive yourself. When you know that the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the judge over all says, you are my beloved son and daughter. And you say back to him, but God, what about this? And he says, there is no buts here. You are my beloved son and daughter as you are with all of that baggage. And it's forgiven and it's done. And the cross was the last of it. Let's stop talking about it and move forward. You begin to be defined by something different. Give Christ your worst. And you might think, well, Chet, my worst is really, really bad. It's not bad enough for the forgiveness of Christ. That's the beauty. I don't care how bad your worst is. It's nothing compared to Christ's ability to forgive. I don't care how messed up we might feel we've made our lives or how heavy the baggage is. Bring it in all its ugliness to Christ and you will find freedom from it. You will stop being controlled by it and it will become a point of forgiveness and grace in our lives. Give Christ your worst. Give him your worst and let him take it and make it something different. Here's the second thing. Give Christ your loyalty. I love how, and I wish we could interview this woman and just say, like, what were you thinking? Because that was kind of crazy what you did. I mean, you just burst in there. You knew that they weren't going to be cool with that, right? Like, you knew what those Simon and his buddies are like, right? They're the snooty people in high school, right? They walked with their noses up in the air, and you knew they were going to look down on you. You knew that you were putting yourself in a situation where you were going to totally be socially rejected. What were you thinking? What she was thinking is that she just needed to be near Christ, no matter what was before her. And I love how when she goes to Christ and she just goes exposed. I mean, could you imagine a more vulnerable moment? You're weeping at his feet, wiping his feet with your hair. I don't have much hair to wipe the feet with, but I can still imagine what that would. Listen, don't amen me on that or laugh at that. But I just cannot imagine a more just exposed action than that what this woman took. And I love how Jesus has her back in this moment. Right? Simon is thinking, oh, Jesus, nope, you shouldn't be doing this. You don't know who she is. I do. Everybody else does. If you were really connected to God, you would know this is a no-go and that you can't be connected with her. People are going to talk. Your ministry is going to be ruined. This is going to hurt your reputation. It's making me question who you are. Amidst all of that, Jesus doesn't care. And he says, no, Simon, you're the one who needs a lesson here. This is how it is. And I'm going to honor this woman. And you guys can say and do whatever you want. Because this is what God is actually like. And what I love is there is no one that will protect you and protect me. There is no one that is more trustworthy with every aspect of our life than Jesus Christ. If you give him your loyalty, you will never regret doing that. I know all of us, we've felt the sting of betrayal in life before. You can't live for a few decades and not have friendships go bad. Relationships take a turn for the worst. You can't live a few decades and not have someone in your life that you thought you could count on, you realize that you couldn't. And we also betray ourselves, don't we? We also fail ourselves at times. And at the end of the day, just what I want to impress on your heart and my heart is that Christ will never fail you. If you want to put your hope somewhere, put it in him. If you want to put your identity somewhere, put it in Christ. If you want to stake your future on something, put your future in the hands of Jesus Christ. He will always have your back, and he will always do for you and me what is truly best for us. One of the great struggles in life is we think we know what's best for us, but we don't. Right? How many times have we looked back, we're like, man, I thought that was such a good idea at the time. And it was a disaster. Because, church, because you were not meant to be the leader of your life. And I know everybody tells us that we are. Do what you want. Follow your heart. Live out your own path. Well, only if it's in submission to Jesus Christ. Because I'll tell you what, my heart has led me astray many times. My heart is an unreliable guide. It needs submitted to more wisdom than I have. The wisdom of Jesus Christ. And every time that I choose to follow him over some other divergent path, I'm choosing life, and so are you. Give him your loyalty. Sometimes you may not understand where he's leading. You might be like, Lord, this is a goofy path you have me on. I don't know what kind of directions you're following here, but this sure doesn't seem to be where we need to go. But I want you to know he is trustworthy. He is good. Church, we're going to hit seasons where our circumstances, it feels like God is gone. Feels like he's gone. Feels like he's let us down. It feels like, is he really good? We're questioning, is he good? Can I trust him? Can he lead me through this time? Does he still care? Have I messed it all up? And I want you to know, those are the most important times to give him your loyalty, to give him your trust. When it feels like it's the hardest to trust him, lean in and give it time, and you'll see his goodness in a new way. And you won't regret it. You won't regret it. Everything else will ultimately fail us, but Christ never will. Give him your loyalty. Here's third. Give him your best. Now, this woman, her best was this alabaster jar of perfume. Now, in the ancient world, this would have represented at least over a year's worth of salary. So very, very expensive. And this woman took the best that she had, and she gave it to Christ. Now, in Mark's gospel, where there's another telling of this story, in Mark's gospel, he tells us that some of the people, when she gave this perfume, they said to themselves, what a waste. She could have at least sold it if she wanted to do something with it and given it to the poor. And she could have actually, you know, helped out maybe in the world. And they saw it as a waste. But Christ didn't see it that way. Because when you give Christ your best, it's never a waste. And church, as I was thinking about it, I thought, how easy is it in life to give God not our best, but to give him our leftovers? Whatever time I have left over after I do all my priorities, I'll give to God. Wherever I can kind of just squeeze him in, he can have that. But the real time and my real priorities, you just can't. I need to keep those for myself, for my thing. But here's the reality. Whatever we give to Christ becomes life-giving. And when you give him your best, it gains a new eternal significance. See, there are all kinds of people that had really probably nicer jars of perfume. Maybe they had Gucci perfume. That's the thing. Maybe they had Abercrombie and Fitch perfume, if that store still exists. That was a big deal back in 1999. Man, I like girls that wear Abercrombie and Fitch. Anybody? It's a big thing. Google it. But this is the jar of perfume that gets remembered. Why? Because it was given to Christ. It was given to Christ. When you give your best to Christ, it has an eternal purpose with it. When you give him the best of your time, the best of your gifts, when you give him the best of your potential, the best of your future, it's never wasted. In fact, it gains eternal meaning. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. So much that we're spending our time and energy is just a blip in eternity. But whatever you do for Christ lasts forever. And you never know how Christ will take that meager offering and make it into something that blesses people for generations to come. I know maybe there's times where you're praying for people in your family and you're like, is this even reaching the ceiling? Am I just wasting my time and energy? And I want you to know, if you're giving your best to Christ, you're not wasting it. Maybe there's times where you're serving the Lord and you're like, I don't think I'm helping anyone. If you're doing it for Christ, it's not a waste. Whatever you give to Christ gains eternal meaning. I want to play the long game with my life. I want to live for something bigger than me. I want to live for a purpose that is greater than my own selfish desires. And when we give Christ our best and we surrender it to him, he can take it and make it something beautiful in this world. Now, you may not think your best is all that great. And there's probably a lot of people that this woman was around that maybe they had a lot more to give Christ. But do you know what the only thing that mattered was she gave Christ her best. She didn't have a 2004 Honda Accord to give him. I mean, that would have just blown him away. She just had, she had an alabaster jar of perfume. What matters is your best. And you don't have to compare it to everyone. You don't have to say, well, it's really not all that great. You give him your best, and he will make it something beautiful. And here's the last thing to give him today, is give him your story. Give him your story. This woman gave Christ her whole story. The good chapters and the bad chapters. The highs and the lows. And you know, many great books, many great novels, if you read them, you read certain chapters in those novels and you're like, where is this story going? And it doesn't quite make sense until the story all comes together. You ever read a book like that? One of my favorite books, A Prayer for Owen Meany by John Irving. I'm like, where is this story going? There's all kinds of weird stuff, but then it just comes together beautifully into something powerful at the end. And church, our stories are no different. There are chapters in your life where you're like, where is this going? There are chapters in your life and my life where we would just love to rip them out of the book, ball them up, light them on fire, and throw them away. But God has a purpose in those chapters. It's a purpose. And it will turn out to be a good purpose in time. It might take to the end of the story for it all to come together. It might take a perspective of eternity to understand some chapters. But here's what I want you to know. If you surrender your story to Christ, every chapter will be redeemed for something good. Even the chapters that you're like, I don't ever want to open it up and read it again. It just fills me with shame. Or it's just too painful. It just hurts too bad. Every chapter given to Christ is redeemed. And everything in our life that we see as a liability becomes an asset. See, think about this woman's story, right? You could look at it and say her past was such a barrier. But what makes this story so powerful is her past, right? What makes me connect to it today is that it gives me hope because Christ didn't cast her away. When everyone else judged her, Christ accepted her. And it's the very nature that she had bad chapters in her story that makes it powerful to me. And the chapters that maybe we would most like to be gone are the ones where God's grace will most powerfully come through our lives. See, our place of pain might become someone's place of healing. Our wounds might become someone's peace. Our frustration might be strength for someone else. The chapters that we would just love to edit out of our story might actually be the very places where God's grace will shine the brightest if we surrender our story to him. And we say, God, every part, every page, every word, every sentence, every letter, every punctuation, God, we surrender to you and we ask that you would redeem all of it. You know, it's a tough time, but there's hope in this tough time because who the author is of your story. These are painful times, scary times, exhausting times. But here's what I know. If you give Christ your story is still being written. You're not at the end yet. And I know that you are going to like and you're going to see the masterful work of God if you continue to just give him every part of your story and say, Lord, continue to write this story through me. Continue to use this to glorify your name. Continue to bless this and work through me and bring life to others through every page and every chapter. Give Christ your worst. He can take it. He won't cast you away for it. Give him your loyalty. There is no one more trustworthy than him. Give him your best. Only in him will it have eternal meaning. Only in him will it really be something truly beautiful. And give him every part of your story. Now today I want to end with just a special time of prayer. And I'm going to invite you, just if you're watching online, if you're in the room, I just want to invite you, if your heart is open to this, to just kneel where you're at. And I want to pray for all of us a prayer of commitment to Jesus Christ. And I invite you to do that now. Our great Heavenly Father, we just kneel before you now. Father, we come before you as people like this woman. Father, we have baggage, we have pain, we have struggles from the past and struggles in the present. But Father, like this woman, our hearts tell us there's nowhere else to go but to you. Father, maybe some of us today are coming for the very first time. We're just coming authentically. We're coming because we need something more than what we've been trying. We can't figure out life. We can't get through it without you, Lord. So we just come to you. Father, we give you our past now. Father, we know that we can't figure out shame on our own. We can't outdo the things that we've messed up. We can't right all the wrongs. But Lord, we know that you are not making us do that. But Father, instead, you've granted a new way, that there is forgiveness, that when you went to the cross, when you died and rose again, Lord, it was so that all of our mistakes in the past, all the ones that we might make today, and all the ones that we will make tomorrow are completely forgiven once and for all. And so, Father, we can proudly say, by your grace, we don't have to live under condemnation anymore. But we have been set free. So, Lord, we give you our past. We give you our loyalty, Lord. We say, you are Lord. You are King. You're what this life is all about. Your glory matters above all. Your kingdom is most important. And we ask that your will would be done through us, Lord. We give you our loyalty. Father, we renounce our own self-leadership. We don't want to be king of our lives. We want you to sit on the throne of our hearts. And we will follow you wholeheartedly. God, we pray you would help us to give you our best. Father, help us to not hold back our best for ourselves, but to give it to you as an offering of gratitude. Just like this woman did, Lord, her best. She said, Christ is only worthy of my best. Pray we could give it to you. And Father, we give you our story. The chapter that we're in right now, good or bad, painful or joyful, we give it to you. We pray you would author it as you please. You would command it. You would direct it. And we pray at the end of the day, Lord, our story would be your story. Our story would be one more story that glorifies the name and the majesty of Jesus Christ. We give all of this to you today, Lord, because we know in your hands, all of this becomes life-giving. In your hands, there's hope. In your hands, there's peace. In your hands, there's forgiveness. And what others meant for evil, you meant for good. So we give it all to you, Lord, through Jesus Christ our Lord.